Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
Today we're going to talk to you in continuation of our series on small things, big difference. We're going to talk to you about the importance of your words. The importance of our words is a subject that we should visit regularly and be reminded of regularly. And so in preparation, I kind of did a little bit of research asking some questions about how many words do we speak on average every day. And so I looked this up and wanted to see kind of how we could measure this. And so anybody want to, before I give you the number that I came up with, anybody want to guess the number of words the average person uses in a day? Go for it, man. Shout it out. 35 million. Some people, yes, that's probably true, but average, no. Anybody else shout it out? 3,000, a few thousand. Anybody else? 10,000. All right. The little bit of research. Anybody else? Anybody? No? Type your guess in. What is it? 45,000. 60,000. Type in your answer if you're watching online. Your guess. Here's what I came up with. There's all kinds of research about this, and the average person speaks somewhere between 20 and 25,000 words every single day. Now, some people will tell us there is a gender gap in the amount of words that we use. Some research says that men speak about 13,000 less words per day than the average female. How many of you would agree with that and think that's true? All right. Next weekend from about noon to 3, I bet you that's not true. I bet you the average guy will speak more words at their TV than the average lady. I think it's circumstantial. I've always wondered about this because I get uncomfortable when everybody begins to generalize and lump things together just based on generalizations and maybe gender. One research that I came up with and saw, observed, was a study from the University of Arizona in 2014. That they followed individuals for 8 years, and they found the gap of words between male and female was only a few hundred words per day over an 8-year study. And so whether you're on the high end of the spectrum or the low end of the spectrum, we're speaking on average thousands of words per day. And when we think about making goals, when we think about reaching our God-given potential, when you think about what it is that you want to do in this life that will live for eternity, here's the thing that is true. Your thoughts will produce words. Your words will produce actions. Your actions will produce habits. Your habits begin to form your destiny. And all of us have had the experience of having big ideas, huge goals and aspirations and dreams, these massive things that we want to pursue. But the way we reach those big things are by managing the small components of our life, the thoughts, which we talked about last week. And today, the next step, managing our words and managing the way that words come into our life is a huge deal, as big of a deal as the words in which we speak. Because here's the truth. Every time you speak a word, not only does it go into the ears of the hearer and then drop down into their soul and begin to help them either manage their emotions in a positive way or negative way, but those words that we speak also drop down into our ears and begin to affect our soul, our mind, and our emotions. And what we do with these words are absolutely incredible. Whether we're the ones speaking them or we're hearing them, they have a tremendous impact on our total life's destiny and course. Everyone in this room has heard life-giving words and life-taking words. Both can have a profound impact on us. I remember the day that my mom shared with us those life-taking words of, the doctors say, I have cancer. And I remember how those words dropped down into my soul and gripped me and affected me. I remember being sad and distressed and discouraged. The words came in and had an impact. If you've ever been in a situation where some type of life-taking words have come into your world, you can very easily begin to see the importance of managing these words' impact in your soul and in your life. Maybe it's the words of, "We're sorry, we no longer have a position for you." Maybe you've heard the life-taking words of, "I love you, but I'm no longer in love with you, and it's over." Maybe you've heard those life-taking words that resonate with us that are forms of rejection, how they just grip us. We've all had different life circumstances and had the opportunity to have to navigate through the waters of difficult and challenging seasons. We've all hopefully had the experience of life-giving words that I remember. It's coming up on nearly 20 years ago when I got down on one knee in the Hanum's living room at Christmas time and presented my wife with the best ring I could to represent my love for her and said, "Will you marry me?" And she said, "Yes." And so some of the greatest words I've ever heard is, "Yes, you're worth loving and spending the rest of my life with." The life-giving words of, "Josh, we're pregnant." The life-giving and life-taking words seemingly simultaneously when we're in the sonogram room and the lady says, "Excuse me, I have to leave." And she comes back and says, "There's two." We've all had those experiences. Or how about maybe the incredible life-giving words when you made your very first offer on a house and the seller comes back and says, "Yes, we'll sell it to you." Or maybe you're in the college age and you sent out that application and they said, "Yes, you'll be accepted into this university." Some amazing life-giving words and also tragic life-taking words that everyone in this room, this week, you'll have to navigate through. And I'll have to navigate through. And so we want to get God's perspective on this. We want to understand, I want us to understand deeper God's desire for all of us as it relates to these matters about your words. And so look at Proverbs chapter 18. And I'm going to read just one verse. I'm going to read verse 21. You ready? "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So the proverb writer says something absolutely incredible. Within us, within our words, are the ability to either give life or to speak death. And so over the course of the next few minutes, I just want us to reflect and ask, are my words being used to give life or are they being used to take life? Are they being used as life-giving words or are them my words filled with death and challenge and negativity and difficulty? Today you have an opportunity to reboot on this idea, a time to reset. Don't go back and say, "Oh man, I've really goofed this up over the course of my life." Use today as an opportunity to jump forward, make a change in the words that you're speaking, and really ask God for his help. And let me tell you a little secret. Can we just keep something between us? Can you make me that promise, just us? You ready? Here it is. You need God's help in this because you can't do it on your own. The words that we speak are so powerful. In our tongue, in our words, are the power of either death or life. And here's what you need to understand. Wherever your mind goes, the mouth follows. And so change becomes really, really possible in your life when you change the words that you speak. Small changes in the words we speak, they can make a big difference. As a kid, I remember I had this situation where Mama was making us something, and hopefully you'll give me a little bit of creative license in this story because I don't remember exactly what she was making, but what happened as a result of what she was making, I'm not adding to. It's exactly the way it went down. Let's just say she was making homemade fries. Everybody okay with the idea of homemade French fries? She has the grease on the stove there, medium-sized pan, and she's making French fries. And so she finishes one batch and maybe two batches, and somewhere along the line in this process of her making this delightful snack, a small fire erupts in the grease of the pan. And so she kind of panics a little bit, as you probably would, and she takes the pan and she goes to the sink. Anybody ever had a grease fire in their house before? So she went to the sink and turns the spigot on, and this tiny little fire, when exposed to the water that came out of the faucet, absolutely erupted in the kitchen. It burnt all the Holly Hobby wallpaper off the wall. The yellow cabinets were a really nice, crusty brown. The ceiling was black. I mean, the whole wall of this little tiny kitchen was just destroyed by a really small flame that came in contact with the wrong material. So this really small fire that could have been dealt with maybe flour or some form of powder that would have dried the flame up, actually the very thing that she thought that was going to extinguish the flame ignited it. These are our words. We can have some little small rumbling of fire in our life, and the words we apply to that tension-filled moment, that difficult situation, the words that we apply are either going to ignite the flame and either act as a accelerant or a suppressant. See, our words have that power. You ever been in an argument with your spouse over something and it becomes a contest of who can use their words the most creatively to really get at that subject? Anybody ever done that before? I have. You liars. People online, you know what I'm talking about. It just erupts. And it's absolutely true that a soft answer, it'll turn away wrath. But have you ever been in a situation and just the sheer tone and volume that you take as an accelerant to the fire of that situation, of that argument? Something that was so docile and benign turns into something that is just absolutely raging out of control emotionally, because words can do that to a situation. It can either put the thing out or it can cause it to accelerate in its size and enlarge in its size. James says something similar to this in chapter 3. He says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Our words have a tremendous impact on the people around us and really on our own life. So I want to give you a couple helpful things that I think will propel you in the right direction. Life-taking words are things like, why couldn't you be more like your brother? Why couldn't you be more like your sister? I can't believe you haven't found someone yet. My all-time favorite is the individuals who ask the newly married couple at the reception, so when are you having children? These words that we don't know what to do with, but yet we do something with them. Let me illustrate this kind of way. I've told this before, but it bears repeating. The way our words come out, especially when we're in awkward, we don't know what to do situations, can be really, really unhelpful. Maybe you remember me telling this story about the lady who came through the receiving line during my mother's calling hours. And she says to me, she looks me in the eye, she grabs my hand, and she says, I see the casket is closed. It must have got real bad there at the end. And in my brain, I'm going, she's an idiot. She's an idiot. She's an idiot. She's an idiot. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And so my way of coping, this is my mom's calling hour, so if you get mad at me, that's fine. It's my moment to grieve at this time. And she's looking at me. She doesn't know what to say. She doesn't know what to say. But the words she's using are just a reminder to me of how it went. And without even really spending too much time, she says, it got bad there at the end. And I responded really quickly, oh no, this casket's on a timer. It opens every 15 minutes. She sits up and waves at everybody. She moved right on to the next person in the line. And my words were not the best choice, but they were the words that I had at that moment. See, we all have to understand that life comes at us fast, and you don't always have time to properly think through everything, which leads me to step number one on the small incremental management of our mouth. Mama used to say, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. The easiest words to understand and the most difficult words to actually apply in everyday life, right? But see, this isn't just Mama's words. This is God's idea. In Ephesians chapter 4, here's what Paul says to the church at Ephesus in verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Imagine with me for just like the next 30 seconds. Imagine a world where no one in your sphere of influence lets any unwholesome, any negative, any life-taking words out of their mouth. Imagine a home where the only words that are spoken are words that are life-building, that make you stronger than you originally started. Imagine an environment of a church where no one ever let something unwholesome, unhelpful come out of their mouth. Imagine that environment. Some of you are like, I can't do that. It's so difficult. But this is what God says His highest and best is for us. And you may not be able to fulfill that in its fullness today. And I may not be able to walk in its fullness of that idea today. But here's what you and I can do together. We can take one step forward and we can be determined that less unhelpful things are going to come out of our mouth today than came out of our mouth yesterday. And we can say that tomorrow we're going to get better, and the day after that we're going to get even better, and the day after that we're going to get even better, until we just absolutely come close to walking in this verse in its fullness. Wouldn't that be an incredible goal for all of us to have together? It absolutely would. It would absolutely be an incredible goal. Several months ago, my wife and I sat down with some counselors, and we went to a marriage intensive, and it was several months ago, and it wasn't necessarily because anything was bad in our relationship, but you know, I believe in investing in our marriage, and you want to make something stronger, you got to add to it. It's not just always a panic, like everything's falling apart moment if you go to counseling. It's sometimes to prevent things from falling apart that you speak to someone and get some help. And so we went and we were talking to them about it, and we had to fill out this kind of questionnaire before. And one of the questions on the questionnaire was, record the way that your dad shared criticism. Describe the way in which your dad criticized you growing up. And I looked at that question, and I thought about that question, and I thought about that question, and I thought about that question. And eventually, I just simply had to write these words down. I don't remember a time where my dad ever criticized me. My dad wasn't perfect. like no dad is. But on this, I thought and I thought and I thought and I could not come up with it. Now, I know many people would not have that experience. If you were given that same question, you would not have enough lines on the paper to get all the things that were said. But in that particular context, with that particular question, I could not come up with a single answer. And in that moment, I had kind of an aha revelation kind of experience where I was like, man, I don't think my kids would be able to answer about me the same way I answered about my dad. And it made me want to lift my game, not because of some kind of self-help thing that I wanted to apply. What I wanted to do was I wanted to be more like Christ than I had been. That doesn't mean that you don't ever speak to people in a way that is challenging to them. I'm not saying everything you have to do has to be peaches and cream and flowery and really sweet all the time. But kind, encouraging words may be words like this. Hey, Stephen, I see some great potential in you, and I just need you to keep going forward. Don't stay stuck, but keep working, keep moving ahead. I feel like you're tempted to stay stuck. Or, hey, Mike, I don't know what's going on, but I need you to take another step because you're not giving it all you've got. I love you, man, and I see this in you, and I want to call out of you the better things that are in you than you're walking in. That can be encouraging. The idea of encouragement means to make someone stronger than when you found them. It doesn't just always mean tell them everything that they want to hear. My dad, I couldn't think of a single thing. Couldn't think of a single thing, and to be honest, I'm really blessed because of that. Now, if you haven't had that same experience, which it's okay if you didn't, what I want you to understand is my God is the healer of the brokenhearted, and he can bind up the wounds caused by the damaging words of other people. And you don't have to walk in the hurt and the damage and the reality of those words another single day. God, right here, right now, by his power and by his spirit, can heal each and every person who's had those deep cutting experiences through negative and difficult words. You don't have to live under the weight of that. But when you think of something that is unhelpful, here's the simple instruction. You think of something that's unhelpful to say, just skip it. Just leave it out. The flip side of that, which is the second thing that will help you get to your destiny, is when you think of something helpful, when you think of something that will encourage a person that you appreciate about them, here's what I want you to do. Don't skip it. Say it. Isn't it funny how the things that don't build people up we're quick to say, but the things that we think about that would build them up, we just take for granted that they know we think about them, and so it lies inside of us quiet and dormant and unexercised. So when you think that good thought, send a text, call them, say it to them. Say, hey, I really like the way you did this. Hey, I thought this was awesome. Rather than skipping saying it, say it. Verbalize it. He goes on and he talks about that we should say the things that are helpful for building others up according to their needs so that it may benefit those who listen. Wholesome words, they build people up. Wholesome words need to be filled with grace. And the last thing is, rather than only thinking about what you would say to others, think about what do you say to you? What do you say to you on a regular basis? Are you finding yourself saying things to yourself like, I'm not good enough, I messed up again, I knew I couldn't do that, why'd I even try? I knew they wouldn't help me with that. I knew they wouldn't believe in me. I knew they wouldn't hire me. I knew. And what are we saying to ourselves? If you leave out of here waiting to get all the encouragement you need from others, you will leave disappointed. There's an interesting story about King David. in the book of Samuel. He's done some things to aggravate the people around him. Anybody ever done anything to aggravate the people around you? How many of you like really like you got your black belt ninja level of aggravation gift on your life? Like it's like some of you have the black belt and the gift of aggravation. Like David, whatever he was doing was aggravating the people around him to the point, check this out, y'all, where they wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. I've made people mad. As far as I know, no one has actually plotted my death, as far as I know. But how many of you know that's a kind of a low day? Like they send you the instant message that says, I want you dead. By the hundreds and by the thousands, people said this. And in this moment of distress and discouragement, David does something that every single one of us in this room need to practice in our life on a regular basis. David used this as an occasion, the Bible says, to encourage himself in the Lord. What do you do when no one around you is encouraging you? You take that as an occasion to encourage yourself, to build yourself up, to speak life-giving words into your situation. Don't wait and delegate that to somebody else. Don't hold someone else responsible for all the positive words that should come into your life. Don't wait until someone else speaks life-giving words. You, right here, right now, as a matter of your choice and will today, make the decision that I'm going to speak life-giving words over my life, whether anybody else does or not. I made this decision and determination many, many years ago, about 20 years ago. I'll never forget, I was in a Bible school class and the teacher came out and was talking to us about the power of our words. And he gave us this confession that at the first time I heard it, I thought it was ignorant. I thought it was dumb. I thought it was just kind of really weird. And as I kept saying it over my life, it kind of got traction in me. And here was the confession that he would encourage us to say. He asked us to do it every time class began. Say, I'm quick, I'm bright, I'm sharp, I'm very good looking, I got plenty of resources, and I'm a major blessing. Every week, I'm quick, I'm bright, I'm sharp, I'm very good looking. Don't laugh at that part, but I'm very good looking, I'm very, very resourced, and I'm a major blessing. And I begin to say that over my life. I'm quick, I'm bright, I'm sharp. What's that mean? In the moment when you feel dull, when you feel dumb, when you feel like you're half a step behind, what's the thing that you should say over your life? Encourage yourself in the Lord. If you don't like that result, if you don't like that destination, if you don't like that destiny, you can change it by beginning to speak something different over your life. You begin to say, I get this thing, and I get this thing quick. From a very small age, I began to encourage my kids with this kind of stuff. When reading was a challenge, when math was a challenge, when something in their world was up against them, why? It's not about the math. It's not about the reading. It's about learning how to manage life in the small incremental things and being vigilant to manage the stuff that comes into our life and begin to filter it out with God's truth over us. I'm quick. I'm bright. I'm sharp. I'm very good looking. You got to say the parts you really need in a sassy way. You know what I mean? And you know what I found? That I started believing those things about myself because I was hearing them. I was encouraging myself. They were getting down, back to the beginning, they were getting down into my soul. They were getting down into my belief system. They were causing me to live with a light and free spirit so that I could conquer the day, that I could go out and take steps of action. I love the part that says, I have plenty of resources. How many know that's better than saying all the time, we can't afford it? Oh, he got quiet in his Presbyterian church on that point. I get you. Like, but what are you saying? What are you saying about your situation? Are you saying you never have enough? Then if you're saying that over your life, let me help you. Stop wondering why you never have enough, because that's what you're saying, and that's forming the reality of your life. This is the way Jesus said it works. This is the way God set it up from the beginning. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Josh, are you saying we have this kind of power? I'm saying, here's what I am. What I am saying is, God models for us a way that we are to conduct ourselves. And when we walk in alignment with his model, it will have a positive impact in our spiritual lives. What are you saying? What are you saying over your life? If you don't like what you're experiencing in this life, begin to change what you're saying and watch the situation change. God, change my marriage. God, my kids are growing up in faith and have favor on them. My body is a dwelling place for God, and I'm getting in better and better shape. With God's power, I will overcome. See, now listen. You can't then say those words and then let your actions be opposite of those words. That's where it gets goofed up. You can't say, I'm getting in better and better shape while you're eating the Twinkie. You can, it just won't work. But why do we say it then? So that it changes our thoughts and changes our actions, changes what we want. How bad do you want it? And when your words begin to align with that, there's something very interesting happens. The power of words is so phenomenal. I saw a study, I'm going to finish with this, where two people who came into a room, they had all the stuff on their brain and these like wires and electrodes and things, and on the screen there were certain portions of their brain that were lit up and active and certain portions that weren't. And they were different in each control, each person. But as they began to read a story, as the moderator began to read a story out loud to these two people who came in with totally different brain functions and attentions that were being monitored. As they began to read this story, this uplifting, encouraging, life-giving story, something began to happen inside the brain of the individuals. The same parts of the brain of each individual began to light up. The same sections of the brain that were dealing with how they managed emotions and stress, they began to be activated and engaged. These positive life-giving words changed the course of both individuals' minds until something that scientists call alignment began to happen. These minds, these two brains, begin to move in the same pattern of flow based on what they were hearing, and they were activating the certain portions of the brain that sent the right chemicals to the right areas to cause them to absolutely be changed in their outlook of the particular circumstance that they came in under. All through the power of words. Words have an impact on us. And let's change the way we use them. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, I thank you for your goodness in us, for your goodness to us, for you showing your goodness through us. We can see very clearly, Lord, that words are the power of life and death, and we can change the way we live if we change the words we speak. As a beginning step to change our actions, to change our habits, to change our destinies. And Lord, here's my simple prayer. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed really quickly, if you don't know Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to begin your new life with him. If you don't have a relationship with him, we are in a situation where, apart from God, we are responsible for the sins that we have committed in our life. And every single person in this place has sinned and fallen short of God's best. God sent the only thing that he had one of, his son, to die so that we could live and take the place for us and remove the burden of sin and shame off of our life. If you don't know Jesus, I want you to have an opportunity to experience this amazing grace that he's provided. If you don't know him, really quickly, I want you to just lift up a hand. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat. But you say, Josh, I don't know Christ, but I want to make him the Lord and the leader of my life. And I want to do that today. If that's you, right now, just throw up your hand and say, Josh, that's me. I don't want to have to pay the penalty of my sin and shame for all of eternity, but I want to spend eternity with Christ. I want to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that when I slip out of this life and into eternity, that I will spend forever with him. And I don't have that assurance, but I want it. I need it. I must have it. If you want to make that decision right now, just slip up a hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody say, yes, that's me? Looks like we're good. Thanks, my man. All right, good. If you're watching online and you want to make that decision, there's a button you can click. Someone will pray with you and connect with you. Anybody else join this guy, this young man? Say, that's me. That's awesome, buddy. That's awesome. Let's do this. Everybody, let's pray out loud so no one is praying by themselves. Everybody repeat this after me. Say this strong from your heart. Everybody with one strong voice, say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your son. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And now and forever, I turn from my sin and I turn to your son. And I'll follow him all the days of my life. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.